You're listening to Tech Trend Investments with Elizabeth Powell and Joseph Grassa, only on LA Talk Radio.
Hey, everyone. Hi. It's Elizabeth Powell. I have to come up with a new salutation depending on where I'm at.
It's no Howdy. Longer
No, I'm just kidding. I'm not in Texas right now. I'm in California. No more aloha. What's up, everyone? How y'all doing?
No, just kidding. What's up, hi. Dudes and dudettes? It's Joseph Grassa, and I think
what's happening?
What's happening, everybody? Hi, everybody? How are we doing? All the slang's gonna start coming out again. After
no, New York, East Coast.
It's all the East Coast slang that's gonna come out of me. At some point, it'll start slipping out, but I don't know if it's come out yet. So
right.
I've listened back to a few episodes, but you know, I don't know if it's gotten out yet. That East Coast slang is not. It's not available right now. You have to try again at a later date.
I hear. I'll say something else later. Wisconsin, it sounds like. Just kidding. So hi everyone, here we are. Welcome Tuesday. It's Tuesday. Oh my goodness, this week's going by so fast. So welcome to Tech Trend Investments. So we have some exciting stuff been going on in the market and some fun things going on, which is awesome. And then we're also, just so y'all know, this is the high volume time of the month. Like, it's the best time to trade. So if you're trading stocks, bonds, futures, options, if you're investing in anything, if you're doing assets, meme coins, altcoins, whatever you're doing, this is usually when we're coming into the most volume, which is the middle of the month, because again, people are getting paid and they have that discretionary income and extra cash flow. So if they're not shopping, they're investing, they're trading, they're trying to build out more money. But right now there's no major bills due usually on the 15th because all the mortgages and rents were due on the 1st. And so there's a lot of cash flow coming into the market right now. And there's some exciting things happening also in the market, which we'll talk about.
Some extremely exciting things happening. I think everybody's heard it at this point though.
Right.
But because it's been over the news. Maybe not though. Maybe not. You're right.
Maybe not.
But it's been all over the news. And even waking up today, my parents are coming to me and they're like, what's going on again? It's happening again. It's happening again. And for those of you who don't know, GME is back. GME, GameStop.
Yeah, GameStop. After, well, and the other ones too. The whole trend AMC, that happened during COVID.
Yep. GameStop, AMC, and AMC, and it has
Wall
been.
Bets.
Yeah, Wall Street Bets.
All the lingo that we were talking about last week.
Exactly, it all originated from these guys, Wall Street Bets, and the Reddits and subreddits of all of this talk that was going on about GME and AMC back during COVID. It's back and it's ever more prominent now than ever. So thank the Lord we talked about all the slang and
right
the key terms last week, because now
they'll understand what they're saying.
Exactly.
Just crack the code for everybody so now they can understand what people are saying when they're talking on Web3.
Yeah, I know, because like especially all of his videos, they reference it, because he's been, for those who don't know, Roaring Kitty is the person who has been referenced primarily, who he was on a gag order for 3 years following up with a lawsuit with GME three years ago when during COVID, when it ran up, I don't even know what did it reach last time, do you know?
I think they were showing numbers, I think it was in the 400s. Didn't it go
400? I'm gonna double check, but I think it did reach 400.
Yeah, it was like at $2. It started out like at $2 and then went all the way up to 400 something. From what I remember, I'm just recollecting. I was seeing something on Twitter today where somebody was showing the different prices on AMC also, because then they targeted AMC to do a run up on that also. And they were showing like by month how much it had changed every month when all this was going on. So again, this is do your own research. This is not financial advice. We're just talking about what's going on in the market. But it's fun. It's exciting. So it's kind of fun to be part of the culture, part of what's going on. And hopefully y'all kind of got some of the insider words that we talk in Web3, the lingo, so you understand when people are talking. And then a movie to watch too, which is kind of funny. I mean, it was a funny money. Funny money.
Funny money.
But it was called Dumb Money. But it was kind of like a recap of what had gone on, like a little more exaggerated. But I mean, a lot of it was going on during this time too.
Oh,
was so it was fun to watch and like see a recap of all the excitement. And then a lot of memes came out from this too, which is awesome.
So also, I'm checking the ATH. Apparently, it tapped 81 was the high. It's only 81.
No, on GME?
On GME, apparently $81 was the peak.
No, it was higher than that.
I 100% believe it was higher, but on the finance, it's showing 81.
For some reason, then what else was going on? Because some reason I remember it hitting like 240 plus.
I think it did. I don't want to trust these financial sites because
right. Well, maybe they're squashing it.
They're just they're like, okay, it's capping out. It's capping out. Everybody, stop buying. Stop buying.
Right. Yeah. So that happened in the market today, right? So they had they stopped the market about six times today because of it.
It's been six or seven times now.
Yeah, so people were trying to trade and they put a halt on the market because GME was running too fast. So running means it was going up in price.
Maybe we don't need to go over these terms anymore if everybody... Right?
Maybe everybody understands. I mean, tuned in. It had hit 65 today and right now it's sitting at 48.75.
Hold on. Yeah, I think it also at the market close today, it will officially have squished or squashed, whatever the term is that they're using, $1.58 billion in short squeezes.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Which is absolutely ridiculous to think.
So we need to explain what that is too.
Yes, we do. Do you want to go over that?
Sure. So, when there's a stock and say a stock is at $10 and the stock is going up and it's going up to $20. You would buy a long position, which means that you're buying an option that you're saying that it's going to go at a higher amount in the future. So you're long on that. You're saying, yes, I think that the future option that it's going to go up even higher. So I'm going to buy an option or I'm going to long the market saying that I believe it's going to go into a higher value. And so you're leveraging. So instead, if you normally would buy like one share of stock or 100 shares of stock, 100 shares of stock at $10 is going to cost you over $1,000. But if you leverage it and you buy an option on it, it may only cost you like $50 to option it, where that's a long position. And a short position is saying that you think that the stock is going to go down or that it's going to go into the negative. And so you're doing a put on it or you're doing a short on it or you're saying it's going to go down in the future. So you, instead of buying 1,000 shares or 100 shares to go down, you're putting an option on it, like you're kind of hedging the market or betting the market that you think it's going to go down. And so there were a lot of positions open because GME hasn't been doing that well, right? Especially since he had like a restraining order on him that he couldn't speak about it to motivate investors to buy into GME. So there was kind of a pause for the last 3 years where people weren't actively trading on it. And so people had shorted the market and said that we think that GME, which is GameStop, is going to go down even more. And so they're putting positions out in anticipation that it's going to go down. But now GME or GameStop is going up, which it's running, and it's going in a positive way where they have to cover that position because they're saying that it's going down when in actuality it ended up reversing and tripling or quadrupling in price. I didn't see what the price was yesterday before.
So of GME at opening, market open, it 4x'd to this morning, I believe.
Okay. From the time that he started making his announcements?
Yeah. Which is, actually, no, I think it's close to a 5x because it opened, it was at $10.
Okay, yeah. So at one point, it was at 65 on off-hour tradings. I don't know if it went higher than that.
Off hours, it hit 75 or $80, I believe.
Oh, okay.
So it went really, really, really high during pre-market. Pre-market is being when the market is closed and it's about to open and people are placing their bets and buying in and praying that the stock will open at a higher value.
Right. And there's also international markets were open too. So you could have bought in international markets off hours too. On some.
And so I think, so what I'm assuming right now is that international is, they're slowly getting back into it, but I think there's still a lot of skepticism behind it, mm-hmm. especially because most of the people that are talking about GME and AMC right now are primarily from the U.S.
Right.
And
it's in a U.S. stock. It's a U.S. corporation, it's a U.S. company.
Europe has been talking about it a little bit more today in specific. So okay. I believe there might be a bit more of, I can't, obviously everything said here is not financial advice. Always do your own research, mm-hmm. but I still think that it has room. It has room. I'm obviously both of us are part of crypto. So we are heavily influenced by the market swings that are occurring currently. And obviously we have a bullish take on it because it does affect us. And obviously when you're positive and you uh-oh. Manifest things, then it will help you a lot. We can still hear you, by the way. You did cut out for a second, but you're all good.
So, so it's also affecting the crypto market too. So it's affecting trading in the stocks, bonds, options, and futures. There's optimism coming back into the market. It's kind of like the little guy against the big corpse type of scenario, because the people that are shorting GME are the big corporations or the big companies that have been shorting it. So it's kind of like the little guy against all the hedge funds. But the other thing to think of is people make money on trading options and futures. They make money on going in a long position or a short position too. They're betting on the market to go a certain way or not a certain way. And so they're also hedging it.
Oh.
So usually what options are for is kind of to hedge your position. That's what they're originally primarily for. Did I cut out?
For a split second there, but it did pick up again. So you are fine.
Okay. So most of the time when you're into an option, it's giving it you the opportunity to leverage something that you wanted to be able to buy. So say you wanted to go into a blue chip stock, which is like Disney or Coca-Cola. You want to go into something really stable and you would love to be in Disney, but you can't right now. You don't have that kind of financial like income or money or to buy 100 shares of Disney, hypothetically. So you can hedge your position. And you so if Disney's going to go up, you buy an option so that you can buy Disney in the future at that price. And so you're either locking in that price or you're saving that price for the future when you're able to buy it. That's usually what options have been for in the past. But people can also make money on options now. So they can make money on the spread of the options. So if you look at an option on a buy, it goes by time value, basically. So the farther out the time, the more expensive it gets. The closer to the price it is now, the more expensive it gets. So say hypothetically, we're in a stock and a stock costs us $100 today. So this is day zero, right? Today we would buy the stock for $100. And this stock is very popular, so it anticipates going up in the future. Well, the more time that you add onto that option, so now I want to buy the stock in 3 months out. That's 90 days out. That's a lot of time versus if I'm just going to buy it in 7 days, which is a short amount of time. It's going to cost me more to buy 30, 60, 90 days out than it would to be buy 7 days out. So it's going off of time value, right? And then also the closer you are to the price right now, if you anticipate it going up, say it's $100 now, and we anticipate that it's going to go up to $150 in a month. The closer you are to the price now, you buy it at 100, and then you're saying that you're going to buy it in 130 days. You're basically buying an extra $50 into it. So it's the time value of money. And so by the closer you are to the price, the more expensive it is, and the longer farther out on time, the more expensive it is. The cheaper it is the closer you are to the price. Okay, now I'm talking backwards. The cheaper it is the closer it is to the time, like a day one, day zero. And then the more expensive it is in the future. So we would get a really cheap option if we said in 7 days, I think it's going to be at 200 and today it's only at 100, because it's going to be really hard for it to be at 200 in 7 days. So the cost will be really cheap. But if you said I want it in 90 days at 100, they anticipate that it would probably be at 200 in 90 days. So it's going to be more expensive. Okay, it's better on paper.
It is better.
But those are options. Those are what people do. They hedge. So it's time value money. Yeah, so it's time value money. The longer is the more expensive, the closer the price, the more expensive. Cheaper, the closer is the time, and then the higher amount. So
yeah, that's fun. Good explanation. It's better on paper, though. I will agree with you on that. It is better on paper.
You can see it on paper. It's also fun to look because you can find like arbitrage. You can find discrepancies on options. Like if people think it's going to go down, then the price of a long or a future option is cheaper. So you can find like little discrepancies and get in positions that way too. But that was like the whole underlying theme of why GME, AMC, and all those different ones started to run, because they were trying to go against the people that were hedging it to go down. They're trying to save them, basically. Save GameStop.
Save GameStop. I don't know if it's as much of a save thing right now, though. I feel like
it's
more of like get back at the people who doubted and thought right. They weren't going to do it again.
Right. And he has the freedom to talk again.
Exactly. So in crypto, when you're silenced and you've been sitting on something for a while, the second you get the chance to talk about it again, you make sure it is a big movement and that everybody knows. And that's happened before, and it's happening again right now. So a lot of people were kind of just date logging this. And they're like, okay, so this day, the 13th, he's able to talk again. And they're like, okay, so let's see what happens. And there are a lot of people hedging their bets. In planning, like, okay, he's going to be back here. Let's see what happens. Let's buy, let's buy, let's buy. And then the second he does talk, everyone else gets the one word that we talked about, FOMO.
Right.
Which is the fear of missing out. And they jump in as fast as they can. And they do so because they don't want to miss out on the play. They don't want to miss out on the movement because...
And the chart going up green and the price increasing and missing out.
And there's a lot of, we'll call it, influencer talk, which brings in a lot of eyes, but also it's a lot of skeptics, because when influencers get involved, then it's like, okay, what's going to happen? Are they doing it for a cash grab? Are they doing it for clout, which is another word, which is basically popularity.
Mm-hmm.
And people start thinking, are they doing it for the right reasons or the wrong reasons?
Right. We're getting philosophical lately in Web3, because Web3 is its own animal, which is fun.
It's its own beast.
There's a lot of things going on in Web3 right now, which is fun. So the good thing is like, do this. If you're listening to us right now, just do a hashtag GME and just look at the different types of posts that are going on. They're fun. I mean, they're interesting. They're kind of encrypted too, but hopefully you've caught some of our slang that we've explained the last couple times and you can see what they're talking about. But they're fun. Like, they're trying to catch people's attention. They're trying to get movement in the market, right? But it's also bringing in a lot of people. So like, you're listening to us, we're talking about it. So you may be the next person coming into Web3, whoever's listening to us right now. And then maybe. Yeah, so you get excited about it. It's fun. It's entertainment, too. It's a lot of entertainment. A lot of entertainment.
Always something to do. And I personally find myself not sleeping at nights because of all the excitement going on.
Mm-hmm. There's a lot of stuff. So the good thing about Web3 is it's 24/7. There's always something going on because everyone's international, right? So, I mean, we have West Coast, East Coast. We have Europe. We have Asia. We have Dubai. We have all over the world, all different hours. There's always somebody online. There's always something going on. There's always activity. But when we trade, we try to do always the overlap of hours so that we catch everybody at the same time. But each different area also like brings different things to Web3, which is awesome too. So it's a lot of fun. But like if you just go onto Twitter, a lot of people post that are in Web3, they post on Twitter. So you can just do like hashtags like you would do on IG or Facebook. Does Facebook do hashtags? I don't know.
I think they do. I don't know. I haven't been on Facebook in, what, 5+ years now?
I know. I haven't been on Facebook in a while. I can't remember if they do hashtags or not. So if you do a hashtag, like you can find trending, or if you do a dollar sign and a symbol, you can find trending and you can find all the posts around that. Or you can even just go in the search bar and like search GameStop or GME. But like people in crypto will hashtag it if they're pushing something out so that you can read all the fun posts that are going on. But the good thing is like there's people coming in, like people are getting excited again. We were in quote unquote a bear market since like November 2021. And then we had a bounce back in the last 4 or 6 months. And then the market in crypto has been going on the upsurge. We've had another pullback right now, but we're fine. Like this is normal. What happens? People kind of freak out every now and then. But if you look at trading cycles, you look at financial cycles, stocks, bonds, futures, money, currency, everything always cycles. We always go up and down. And so this is just normal. This is just what happens. But if you're trading, you're not dependent on what's going on in the market because you're in a play and you're out of a play. But there's a lot of excitement going on right now. So there's a lot of energy in the market and it's the middle of the month. So it's like our high peak time. So right now is like a lot of fun. A lot of stuff going on. And people are funny because they don't think about this, but that we have our cycles even in the month, like we'll have peak on the 1st to the 5th and then it dies down. And it's so funny, like from the 5th until the 15th, everybody's like, the market's terrible. The market's tanking. It's like, it's bad. It's like, no, it's people ran out of money and they'll be back on the 15th again. That's just normally what happens. It's just a normal cycle. And if you're not watching the cycle, you don't understand that. But people are like, oh, the market's terrible, but it's not terrible. The market's really good. It's just, we go through these cycles and it's just normal. That's what happens. Just like a housing market will go up and then go down and then back up again. So we're just faster in our cycles because we're in Web3, we're in crypto, we're in AI, all that fun stuff. So cycles in technology are a lot faster than more stable cycles. But there's also a higher reward too.
High risk, high reward. I think that's the name of the game.
Right. Low ETH, high risk, high reward.
For anyone who doesn't know what low ETH, high risk, low ETH, low ETH, high risk, it's you put in a low amount of money, so your coffee money into the high risk plays being a token. It could be a stable. Let's say you're expecting a big movement, you're putting in, but it's super risky. You put in a low amount of money, and so that you have less risk and less money on the table. So, but if it hits a 100x and a 1000x, you're not really you're not complaining. But if it goes to zero, you're also not too worried about what happens to it.
Right. So yeah, high risk, low ETH, high reward. Because if you go to the horse races and you bet on the long shot, you're not going to stick thousands of dollars on a long shot. Oops, excuse me.
A long shot. Watch your language. Oh my God. PG.
It would have been public radio. I would have been like bleeped out. That was an accident.
PG. High shot, long shot. Oh my gosh.
Okay. So on a long shot, if you're getting like 1,000 to 1 odds, you wouldn't throw thousands of dollars on it. You could throw 10 bucks on it and make 10 grand, right? Do your own research, not financial advice. But the goal is like to see things from different perspectives. And if you understand what happens in the market and how people trade and the cycles that we go through and like high risk. So same thing like on stocks and bonds, your stable stocks are your blue chips. So you can put more money into your blue chips because they're going to be around longer. And then the higher risk stuff, you're going to put less money in, but you're going to get a higher return. But you also have that risk that it may not pan out. So it's money that, as we said before, is discretionary money. So
discretionary. Coffee money. It's coffee money at the end of the
day. Coffee money. Yeah. Your Starbucks, $5 a day times 30, $150 a month. You could trade on $150 a month and still make money.
Or you could trade on $10 a day, because that's basically what Starbucks costs nowadays.
Okay. $10. Right. So what else is exciting going on the market right now?
Right now, it's honestly, I think it's just prime time for revivals, because now people are like, so let's say, for example, so best example is GME, but for example, AMC, GME, you have a lot of smaller coins as well, or more reputable coins that have been sitting fairly low over the past year or the past 6 months. And what's happening right now is people are realizing, with a strong movement, a strong group of people coming together, you're able to bring something back and bring it up to where it once was. And right. That could be from $500,000 market cap to $40 million market cap, for just an example. And it's all possible with the right group of people in the right mentality, because mentality is everything, and how you perceive everything is really how you trade and how you move around, especially in like real estate. For example, you could go into real estate and say, I want to buy and flip 4 houses this year, but one could go bad or two could go bad, or let's say one's taking longer than the others. As long as you remain in a positive mental state, in forward thinking, it really won't affect your outcome.
Right, because you're hedging your bet too. So that's a thing that people have to think of. Like, you don't put all your eggs in one basket. You hedge your bet, you diversify your portfolio, you diversify your income, and then you go for different levels of returns. So returns that are small, like just a 50% return, or returns that are big. We had a 13,561x return 72 hours ago.
Was it that high?
Yeah, it was 13561x. Yeah.
Oh my
god. So if you entered the trade when the bots pinged, and then you stayed to the all-time high and exited, you could have put, actually, you could have put 0.03 in, which would have been like $100, and made $1.35 million.
$1.35 million?
Right, on our base bots.
Oh yeah. My gosh.
Yeah, we had well, they've been happening a lot lately. So we also had a 1200x. Was it 1200x?
I think it was 1200x.
2 weeks ago. Yeah, 2 weeks ago. And then there was another day on trading that if you put 0.1 in 3 of them, you would have made 2.56 million US. But you would have to, of course, enter when it's first pinged and then hold it all the way to the all-time high. But if you're playing the odds, those odds are pretty much in your favor. but the good thing is like, we always try and have a big spread. So the goal is like to have a big spread where if you're only going to get like a 2x return, you have to enter exactly when it pings and exit exactly when it's time to exit. But if you have 13,000 spread, like, you can enter at any time in the trade and then exit any time in the trade and still make money. But so that's the goal.
That's the goal. The end goal is to remain safe in your investments, pulling out your initials,
and have fun.
And having fun, always having fun. Catch your dopamine rush,
your adrenaline dopamine. But play safe. Do small amounts, $10, exactly. Coffee money. So, and learn, like, it's fun. And then go into Twitter and then search around and listen to some people. There's also spaces. So people will come on and talk. Like, there's spaces on Twitter. So they'll just talk about different projects or just about anything under the sun on some of those spaces.
Well, I think spaces are one thing that in crypto that's becoming more of like a thing, but it's corrupting. If anything, it's just individuals' perspectives on the market, and if you listen to too many of them, you could be corrupted and maybe make a wrong play, or let's say you wanted to do something. Let's say you wanted to go out and you wanted to buy GME when it was at $10, and they're saying, oh no, don't do it, don't do it, don't do it. And you end up getting corrupted and everyone's agreeing with them and you end up missing out on that play and you catch that FOMO. You could end up buying at the top.
Right.
But it's about who you listen to, what knowledge you're pulling from it, and a lot less about what personal perspectives they're sharing and how you differentiate them. Because
Yeah, you can get information. Like, always take everything with a grain of salt. Sometimes people have good information. Sometimes they're just trying to push whatever they're promoting at that time. Just like a commercial. Like, if you're watching TV and commercials come on and try to influence you to buy, go to some restaurant. It's the same type of thing. When people
go to some restaurant. Ooh, right. come buy my... what's it like, my special new gadget that right. I'm releasing and I'm drop shipping.
right, same thing, but it's fun. So what, let's see, we went over some words. I don't want to repeat the same words that we went over before.
Let's not repeat. Okay. At least let's try not to.
Right actually
a recent term is bang bang bang, because that was one that was used recently in one of these crypto kitty posts.
Okay. And
he's like, everybody let's bang, bang, bang. And the meaning behind that is let's go, or like someone saying, let's go, let's go, let's go. Like, it, hyping everybody up.
Okay.
Or to send the chart green.
Okay. Well,
actually, and I just used another term there. Send.
Send. Yes.
When you're sending something, or the chart is sending, it is going up. It is going green. The price is increasing.
Well, that's the other thing too. They were saying that certain words were trying to influence people to buy or sell, and so they couldn't be used anymore. Like, you couldn't show pictures of rocket ships.
Oh, no, that's a no-no.
Right, because it insinuated that meant that it was going to the moon, that it was going to go up in price. So you can't use those anymore. So now they're changing the lingo a little bit.
They are changing it. I think it's becoming more Web2 friendly, kind of. Maybe. Maybe.
Well, yeah. So what else has he said? I didn't read all of his posts.
Oh,
somebody said that he's doing like a movie series where if you put them all together, they tell a story.
They do. It's kind of gone from like the start. Like, don't fade, don't sleep, and then now it's everyone ganging up. So, I think, so one of the ones that he said, actually, it wasn't even him. I think it was.
We're talking about Roaring Kitty.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, we're talking about Roaring Kitty, but I think Wall Street Bets has, where is it? I'm trying to find it.
Yeah, so Wall Street Bets is like big on the memes and been pushing Roaring Kitty and GME and AMC and all those fun things. But they're big on memes and they're big in Reddit, and now they're on Twitter too. And they also have Telegram also. So, and then Roaring Kitty is one of the main people
I think
who
you
helped
cut out
rally GME and AMC.
I think you called it for a second there.
I said Roaring Kitty was one of the main. Can you still hear me?
Yep. Yeah, you're good so, right now.
The joys of traveling Wi-Fi. Roaring Kitty is one of the main proponents that helped rally GME and AMC, which is AMC Movie Theaters and GameStop.
Exactly. So he said a bunch of them. Some of them I don't think I can say on radio.
Probably not.
It's the Twitter talk, but it's more of a current Web3 thing. There's some words where they're a bit too edgy. Needless to say,
we're doing PG friendly radio.
Yes, we are. I think we've said aping before, correct? I'm aping.
No, not necessarily.
Okay, so aping is when you're following a trend or you jump or you buy into a product. It means you're aping. You're just getting in for the culture.
Yeah, you jump into the play or you get into the play or you get that asset so you become part of that community. You ape in.
I think I also used another term there, FTC or for the culture.
Okay.
Which means basically you're just following influencers at that point.
Yeah, so Web3 has like all its little different communities and some of them overlap each other. Like they have NFTs and cartoon characters and meme culture and tokens with utilities, tokens with memes, tokens with real world assets, all kinds of stuff, artificial intelligence. So there's a lot of different types of tech that are tied into the different assets. Like your assets are the NFTs or the digital assets or the tokens. But lots of communities, each community rallies behind because they want their asset to grow. They want their asset to be number one. It's kind of like having a whole bunch of sports teams competing against each other, but it's digital assets competing against each other.
I feel like it's always a competition.
Right.
It's who can beat out who can take the top spot and who can make
be number
promotion.
One. Yeah.
Yeah.
King of the hill.
Exactly. But I think this is more of the philosophical thinking. It's never who can make more. It's how can we all make money?
Right. How can everybody win versus going against each other? Because there's so much.
Somebody.
Yeah. There's so much like to offer. There's so much technology. There's so much interesting things and assets that everybody can actually win. You don't have to compete against each other, but it's fun. It's interesting. It's entertaining.
It's very entertaining. It's very entertaining.
Yeah.
So the one thing I think everyone, and I learned a valuable lesson of this as well, and it's filtering out the noise and finding a balance in terms of what content you consume. Especially in crypto and especially in Web2, what do you consume and how does it influence your decisions? It could be one thing that you're just, I'm just on YouTube or I'm just on Instagram and I'm scrolling through, but being conscious of the content that they're pushing on you and what you actually pull from it. So when I first started thinking about marketing, it was, okay, I'm seeing all these ads and all these people posting on Instagram and everything. And so what's the real meaning behind it? What are they trying to achieve? Rather than, oh, I want to go buy this. Oh, this looks cool. What are these people trying to achieve? And like learning the things, even from things you're not supposed to be learning from, or the intent isn't to learn from it.
Mm-hmm.
So that ties a lot back into just like people and how we act and what we consume, and I don't know, it really ties into crypto, it ties into the real world, it ties into every aspect,
right? So, everybody's always trying to sell somebody something, it seems like. Yeah
it's always, how can I leverage these people's interest to make myself more money, rather than like it ties into it, like, how do I make myself more money? How do I utilize what I know they like to make more money? Well, they just buy into it blindly.
Right. But then also, what added value can you bring them?
Exactly. And that's another topic, added value.
So, I mean, if something's helping you and it's giving you added value and it's teaching you something and you're learning something from it, then it's worth more than just money. And if you can take experiences that you learn in different parts of businesses or crypto or real world and apply it to other areas of your life, it brings added value.
Exactly. Everything can bring you added value if you look at it the right way, right?
Right. If you see things from a different perspective, everything has the potential to teach you something or add value to your life somehow.
So like tuning into the podcast today, the radio show,
mm-hmm.
provides you value.
That's the goal.
That's the goal of it as a whole. We're trying to provide you value. But let's say you see this cool Netflix documentary that you want to go watch. And then it comes into your time cost and where you're placing your time. What's more important? What are you leveraging? I'm leveraging spending 2 hours watching this documentary or an hour of listening to an informative podcast radio show that maybe I can pull a lot of some information from. I'm hoping you can pull a lot from it. We're trying to provide as much value as possible.
Right. Well, I mean, also sometimes people need downtime too. They need to just shut off the brain and not think about anything. And that sometimes helps. And watching a movie and just detaching from the world and escaping into another reality so that you don't have to think about things too much and escape for a little bit and then get back, get refreshed and be serious again. I mean, that's what travel does too. You get your escape from reality, you get that mental break, that emotional, physical break, and then you come back refreshed and happy again.
Travel, we've talked about it before, and it's coming up again. Travel. Everybody needs to travel.
Right. Yeah. I mean, it's all the things that we have passion for, right? So they tend to pop up.
They just tie back into each other somehow, some way. It's like, oh, right. Travel again. Ooh, this ties in really nice. And when you get into a rhythm, then you start finding a lot of, or get into something that you enjoy, like, quite well or you enjoy it enough to the point where you're doing it fairly often, tend to tie a lot of things back to it.
Right.
And it's like, oh yeah, oh well, I used to like trading cards, or I used to like buying shoes, and oh wait, now I'm in crypto, I'm buying digital assets, I'm trading digital trading cards,
and you've got the experience from before,
exactly,
which applies in the future.
Exactly. Everything has a lesson to be learned. I think that's the moral of today. Everything has a lesson to be learned, and there's always something that's happening under your nose, whether you like it or not.
Yeah. And then the things from our past are like our stepping stones to now too, that if we didn't have those experiences from our past, we wouldn't be where we are today. Like everybody wouldn't be where they are today if you didn't learn from their past. We're getting philosophical today. We go from GME to philosophical. But the other thing too is Roaring Kitty's a bit philosophical too. Like he has an underlying theme, and he's very philosophical too. People just don't catch that part. They catch the excitement.
I'd say he's very philosophical to an extent.
Yeah.
So because he's tying into things that happened in the past and emotions that have previously arisen in terms of the trading of GME, AMC and the past pump during COVID. Right. And he's bringing them all back, and it's bringing euphoria to the market where everyone's like, I've seen this before. This is familiar to me.
But we're in a different time period too. So being in COVID was so different comparatively to how we are now, like how much freedom we have now versus how much we didn't have before.
Precisely. Because different times, but you're still, like, if you think about it, it's a different time, but you're still able to use and utilize the same emotional targeting that you used before.
Right. I mean, you can still rally everybody. Everyone still gets rallies. Everyone can still be excited and then be part of a community, be part of a group. It can still bring people together. It can bond people together for a common cause.
Like anything, don't you agree that you can find the tiniest thing and it can just bond everybody together?
Yeah.
It could be anything from, oh, you're wearing a red bracelet today, and that could tie you two, and that could tie two people together. It's honestly, the small things matter. somehow we got philosophical, but
101 philosophy 101. No,
philosophy 101. We're teaching a university level course right now. I hope you're paying attention.
So the goal is write down your goals, write down your visions, create what you want out of your life, find those people and those instances and bring those into your life and make yours and their life better. Right?
Yeah.
And do the things that you love, things that you have passion for, because you're going to do the best on the things that you have passion for. And so if there's people in your energy or people around you that are trying to bring you down, there's an analogy. There's a bucket of crabs, and there's a bucket of crabs, and they're all at the bottom of the bucket. And then some of the crabs start to get out, and they start to climb out of the bucket. And then the crabs below them start to pull the other crabs down, and then none of the crabs get out. Be one of those crabs that puts somebody on your back and then another person on your back, and then you all get free.
Oh my God.
Help each other. We're all philosophical. Maybe it's a full moon. I'm just kidding.
It's a piggyback ride right now.
Yeah. But go on to Web3 and then do a search. Search for keywords and then find out what's going on in the market. Get excited about something. Have fun. Learn
and how to honestly, trade. Yeah. Right now, if you want to deep dive into what Web3 is like, hop on Twitter. Go search up Roaring Kitty, who is the person who brought back GME. Check it out. And it tells a story. Look at the memes, watch the videos, look at the story, and understand that that is how Web3 originated. That is how people in Web3 have gained their terminology, their emotions, slang. And everything, their slang, to the way they trade. And that is a prime example of what to look for.
Yeah, it brought people together in a hard time and formed a community and formed an underground and carried through. And here we are still.
Here we are, 3 years later, still doing it, still building, still having fun. Everybody's spirits are still high. At least we hope they are. Right. And it's the exact same terminology. It has not changed. It can only add, but not much has been added ever since. So
right. And then we're evolving. I mean, we're creating new tech now because of it, which is awesome. Like, new tech is starting from crypto, AI, new technology, new things are happening because of crypto, which is awesome. The time to market is a lot shorter now, where it used to take years for some new tech to come out, and it's coming out within 24 to 72 hours, or even 7 days. So it's added value, you know, it's brought a lot of new tech, new developers, AI, information, lots of information, helping other people trade. So there's a lot of opportunity. There's a lot of fun. Just dabble in it, look at it, see what's going on, and then look for assets and utility that help you learn and become better at what you're doing. And then try things out and see what you like. And then if you don't like something, move on to something else and try that out and see what you like. But there's always something new, something exciting, something going on. And it's fun. It gives you those opportunities that you probably wouldn't have been able to have in the real world if you just worked 9 to 5 and didn't do anything else but watch TV when you came home. It gives you another opportunity. Where, like I told somebody today, as long as I have my cell phone, I have Wi-Fi, my laptop, I can be anywhere in the world and I'm okay. I can be doing anything as long as I have those three things. And so hopefully it provides a lot of other people that kind of opportunity to pursue their passions, go see the world and do what they love to do.
I think that says it perfectly right there. And I think on that note, it's time to wrap up as well. Got philosophical. We talked about GME. we talked about a lot of stuff today. Just it kind of went on a rant because the market has been everywhere. You're going to see a lot of these emotions and these philosophical takes on everything. So kind of just to prepare you guys, if you're listening today, for what's to come and what to look out for in crypto and in terms of the market trading over the next week, month, maybe even 2 months.
And it's only going to get better. It's only getting better. Yeah.
And it only gets better. So thank you everybody for tuning in this week.
And this we'll has just
been absolutely amazing. Yeah, and we will see you next week, Tuesday, for the next Tuesday, episode.
6 p.m. Tech Trend Investments. Thank you.
You're listening to Tech Trend Investments with Elizabeth Powell and Joseph Grassa, only on LA Talk Radio.